Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for this sermon is the Holy Gospel reading from John chapter 6, the story of Jesus' miraculous feeding of the 5,000. This is the text. Please be seated. Again, in this day's Holy Gospel reading, we heard about Jesus' miracle of feeding 5,000 people with only 5 loaves of bread and 2 small fish. Miraculously, after Jesus gave thanks, broke the bread, and had it distributed, there was enough food so that all 5,000 ate their fill. They even had 12 baskets of food left over. This is indeed quite a miracle recorded here in the first 15 verses of John chapter 6. But this miracle and its truths for us cannot fully be understood apart from what is written in the rest of chapter 6. As great as this feeding miracle was, it was but a sign pointing to something even greater. Those latter verses of John 6 are devoted to Jesus' proclamation that he is the eternal Son of God, come down from heaven as the bread of life, as the eternal heavenly bread of eternal heavenly life. Yes, Jesus miraculously provided the 5,000 people with earthly food to keep them physically alive for another day. That was a wonderful and truly amazing work. But as great as it was again just a sign pointing to something even bigger and better. And that is that Jesus had come from heaven with food for their souls, with food that would nourish them for the life of the world to come, that would nourish them eternally for an everlasting life, an eternal life that would be forever and totally free from sin, death, the devil, and hell. This message is particularly pointed out in the last 2 verses of the story of the feeding of the 5,000. And again, those verses say, after the people saw the miraculous sign that Jesus did, they began to say, surely this is the prophet who is to come into the world. Jesus, knowing that they intended to come and make him king by force, withdrew again to a mountain by himself. The crowd saw that what Jesus could do with bread and fish, and so they desired to make him their earthly king who would give them earthly food like this every day. And we are told that it was by force that they wanted to take him to be their possession. They wanted to use his food-producing powers for their physical, earthly benefit. But we are told Jesus would have none of that. He'd not come to be that kind of a king. Jesus had not come to earth to be an earthly king, which is just what he later told Pontius Pilate when he said, my kingdom is not of this world. Jesus had come down from heaven not just to give the world earthly food. He had come to give the world food for eternal life. Jesus had come to deliver his people not from empty stomachs, but from empty souls. He had come to save them not just from hunger pangs, but to save them from the everlasting torment of eternal death and hell. He'd come to give them eternal heavenly food, which they needed for eternal life with God in heaven. So when the people came to make him king by force, Jesus withdrew to a mountain by himself. And in doing that, Jesus again overcame the temptation to be an earthly king who could enjoy all the splendors of this earth. And he had overcome that same temptation before. You recall when Jesus began his public ministry, the devil tempted Jesus by taking him to a very high mountain and showing him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor, and saying to him, "All of this I will give you if you will bow down and worship me." But Jesus said, "Away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." In the story of the feeding of the 5,000, when Jesus refused to become their earthly king, Jesus was clearly showing them that he came not just to deliver them from hunger of body, but to save them from eternal death and hell. And this deliverance is amplified when we note that according to this feeding miracle, when it took place, John says, when the Passover feast was near, and that it happened in a wilderness type place, at least a place where there was no food available. Now, those two things are most important, and we usually wouldn't ever remember them from the story of this feeding of the 5,000. When it took place and where it took place. It took place when the Passover feast was near. You recall the Passover feast commemorated what from the Old Testament? It commemorated the people's deliverance from Egypt's slavery while they were under the leadership of the Lord's prophet Moses. Back then, the people of God, by God's saving grace, safely escaped Egypt at the crossing of the Red Sea, whose waters God miraculously parted for them. And having escaped the Egyptian Pharaoh through the waters of the Red Sea, the people then traveled through the wilderness, a place where there was no food. They traveled there for 40 years until they finally entered the Promised Land. And during their wilderness journey, they were physically sustained by God's provision of bread from heaven called manna. Therefore, in that the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000 takes place at Passover time, in a wilderness area, Jesus is trying to have the people see that he himself is eternal heavenly bread that's greater than bread for the stomach. He is bread that's greater than Moses' manna bread. He is bread and life for the soul. Jesus is trying to teach them that he's come to sacrifice his life on the cross to deliver them from greater enemies than hungry bellies and earthly pharaohs. He's come to deliver them from all the forces of evil, from the power of Satan, and from sin and its eternal death consequences. Jesus is trying to get the people to understand that he's come to lead them to a place far greater than a land flowing with milk and honey. He's come to lead them to the promised land of heaven, where there will be no more sin, evil, sorrow, pain, or death. Now, what about us? Jesus Christ has come also not just to satisfy our worldly hungers and desires. Jesus has come to deliver us from enemies greater than any worldly enemies. Jesus has come to set us free from eternal death and hell. And this deliverance took place on the cross. It was during the Passover feast that Jesus was crucified. shedding His blood on the cross to defeat our enemies, by washing away all of our sin and setting us free for eternal life and salvation. Therefore, He has set us on our journey to heaven. And in this sense, Jesus is rightly understood as the eternal heavenly bread of life, come to provide us with eternal life in heaven. And Jesus said it this way in some of the latter verses of John chapter 6. He said, "Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. It is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the true bread of God is He who comes down from heaven and gives light to the world. I am that bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in Him shall have eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day." So the words of Jesus Himself. Now, when we were baptized, we began our journey to our promised land, heaven. Our baptism was our Red Sea water crossing. Through the waters of holy baptism, we were, as Martin Luther says in his small catechism, delivered from sin, death, and the power of the devil. We were delivered from deserved eternal punishment and were made to be blessed and eternally saved children of the kingdom of heaven. And now, during our days on earth following our baptisms, we are walking through our earthly wilderness, traveling on our way to the promised land of heaven. For this wilderness journey, Jesus provides us with the bread we need, namely Himself. He offers Himself to us regularly, over and over again, in His Word and in His holy meal, the Lord's Supper. Each time we hear His gracious saving word, and each time we participate in the Holy Communion, we are nourished, strengthened, and renewed for our journey to heaven. Considering the Lord's Supper, we recognize that there takes place in that sacrament a far greater miracle than Jesus' feeding of the 5,000. For in the Holy Communion, we receive in, with, and under the bread and wine the very body and blood of Jesus Christ Himself, given and shed for the forgiveness of our sins and for our eternal life and salvation. Jesus is the heavenly eternal bread of heavenly eternal life. On Him and His promise of eternal salvation, we daily feed. That is, we daily hear His word, partake of Him in the Holy Communion, believing in Him, trusting His promise of salvation. And His forgiving and saving grace in word and sacrament nourishes us as we travel through this wilderness on our way to heaven. And finally, we remember the story Jesus told about the rich man who had amassed so many material things for this life that his barns and his banks were overflowing with them. This man, as Jesus said, had more than enough to give him all that he could ever need, even more than he could ever want for the rest of his life. But that very night, his soul was required of him. He died. What good then were all of his earthly things? They were of no value whatsoever to his lost and condemned soul. And Jesus said, "Therefore, what does it profit a man if he gain the whole world but lose his soul?" No matter how many things of this life we possess, no matter how much food we have for this life, we cannot gain for ourselves eternal life and heaven. That is why God sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to come to us as the heavenly food which we need for eternal life. He gave up Himself on the cross for our salvation, winning heaven for us. Therefore, we gladly feed on Him. That is, we gladly look to Him, believe in Him as the bread of eternal life, and as He has promised, believing in Him, we shall not perish, but shall have everlasting life and be raised up at the last day. Amen. Now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.